What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my almost pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Doing all right. Another 42 days and we're there.
42?
Yeah, I think it's July 30th, right?
What's July? What? What is
your
July?
Season comes back?
Oh.
That thing that we talk about, you know, basketball?
What is that? What are you talking? What?
I know, it's sort of weird to talk about now, but we're getting there.
My God. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
Well, there's 1,005 hours until the NBA resumes, assuming the game starts at 7 p.m.
Wow, was that quick math or what?
Nah, I just pulled up a quick Google converter, but yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Man, can you do the minutes for me too real quick while you have that number up?
Yeah. If you're pushing me, I'll tell you right now. 60,400 and
we need the seconds too.
Well, here goes it.
Oh man.
3 million seconds.
Wow. That is a lot of seconds.
This bit went on way too long. Sorry guys. Yo, Josh, how many push-ups can you do in that 60,000 minutes?
About 30. I'll do 30, then I'll quit.
Do 30, and then you can rest for 2 minutes, and then do your max plus 20%.
Yeah, shout out to Jeff Cavalier. AthleanX.com.
Yeah, I'm sure he needs our love of all people, right? This guy. So, obviously, Josh gave away the spoilers. We're talking about the NBA. It's almost back. Well, maybe it's back. Maybe it's not. The last couple of weeks, we've had the owners and the players' union agree on a tentative comeback plan. You know, they set out the timeline. They were very vague on the logistics, and I think it was very on purpose because, well, a lot of stuff is coming out, guys. And, you know, Josh, your boy, Kyrie the Disruptor, as ESPN has labeled him, he's disrupting again. This is classic Kyrie Irving, man. It's him just talking up after everyone had already agreed to it. And he's not alone. It looks like he's got a couple of guys like Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard behind him. Just, you know, I mean, if you're going to make a ruckus, now is the time to do it before it's too late, right?
Lakers fans are sweating right now. I mean, if those two guys decide to, you know, bow out and decide to, you know, use their platform for social justice and go out in the streets instead of playing the games, then Lakers are going to be in trouble. But that's a whole other topic for another day, obviously. But, you know, with Kyrie, he's just different, man. Like, him suggesting they should start their own league, too, that was very interesting to talk about as well.
Hold on. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he suggested to start their own league? There's no way.
I think he got into like some type of like Al Pacino speech where he was like just going off about everything, and then it just came into his mind and he got so passionate about what they're doing that he decided, you know what, we could do this ourselves without even thinking about logistically how that would actually work. And I think at that point he might have lost some of the players during his speech.
I mean, if LeVar Ball can do it, why can't Kyrie?
Well, LeVar Ball tried and he definitely failed, so I can't imagine what Kyrie's going to do. I just want to point out, though, that I said probably about a couple months ago on one of the podcasts that Kyrie is going to be the next player that retires well before he should. And I think that's going to be coming into fruition soon.
You're calling him Larry Sanders?
I think he might actually eventually retire and be the leader of this movement, you know, from the NBA side of things anyway. I'm calling it right now. It's not going to be Avery Bradley. It's going to be Kyrie.
Yeah, that's disrespect to Avery Bradley, man. Come on,
you need a bigger name to put behind if you're gonna, you know, be the guy behind the NBA movement towards, you know, Black Lives Matter. And you need money too. Yeah, like, Kyrie's got all the money in the world.
So does Dwight Howard.
That is true.
Dwight Howard's got so many kids he can put behind this movement too. Good church going, man. So Kyrie has come out. I guess it was last Friday that they had a call with around 75 or 100 NBA players around the league. And it was a lot of, you know, should we do this right now? Should we slow this down with the, I guess like the traction that Black Lives Matter is getting, right? I mean, behind all the protests, you're seeing a lot of states and cities actually pushing, you know, some reform, which is more than you've seen in the past like 60 years. So the thought is, you know, should we really stop it, or should we really take media attention away from it and go in another direction and just have the NBA back in the limelight? Should we really, you know, deviate people's attention from such an important cause? Raj, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a little difficult because Kyrie's always had like views that are outside the norm, and I understand the main purpose of him like playing basketball is to focus more on Black Lives Matter and use their platform. But I think they could do it in a way that they can still play basketball and promote this big important issue and keep it in the news, keep it relevant. And I think him going against kind of the NBA and suggesting that they don't play at all, it's probably not going to sit well with a lot of the other players, a lot of them who haven't made their money or aren't as financially secured or haven't made their name in the NBA. And I think also just from Kyrie's perspective, I think he doesn't make a very strong argument. He's just putting out thoughts and ideas, and it's almost like he's putting out headlines, but like there's no substance behind it. Like there's no, what are we going to do in the meantime? It's just like, we shouldn't play. We got to focus on the issue. But like, what are you going to do that you can't play? Like, how are you going to, if you don't play basketball, like what's going to be on the news? Like, how are you going to stay relevant?
Yeah. Would you be as angry about this if, not angry, I think that's the incorrect terminology here. Would you really question it as much if it was another player, like say Chris Paul or Carmelo Anthony saying this stuff? Would you really question not just the motive, but like the whole messaging behind it?
I mean, imagine LeBron saying it. If LeBron said it, I think pretty much all the players would probably get behind it, and we probably wouldn't have a season. So,
yeah.
And another angle to this, I know nobody wants to talk about it, but is part of it Kyrie just doing this to spite LeBron, since LeBron wanted to go forward with the plan to restart the season? Because nobody spoke out when they brought this up, you know, with the players. With Chris Paul and LeBron. I think Kyrie is part of the first meeting when they all agreed to these different rules and the platform they're going to be going into. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, or a few days later, I guess it was, Kyrie brought, you know, these different aspects up they didn't agree with. So is it in spite of LeBron? Is that part of it? I know it's not all of it, obviously, but it could be part of it.
Yeah, Kyrie is actually I think he's a vice president of the Players Association. So his voice really means a lot to these guys, right? Like out of, I think it was 28 players in that first player call, all agreed to it. And then you're right. I mean, LeBron is doing his own stuff to support the movement, right? Like he's started that, like a foundation to make voting more accessible for people rather than, you know, having to line up for like 2 or 3 hours and taking a bus across town and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, LeBron's doing it in his own way, but LeBron's also an established superstar, right? Like, the guy was drafted in 03, still going, and was probably the most popular player since. But a lot of guys haven't had that opportunity, right? Like, if you're a guy, say, the size of, I don't know, let's say Austin Rivers, because he's actually spoke out about it, against Kyrie, who do you back? Do you back someone that has already established themselves, already has multiple foundations to support, like a lot of youth, a lot of Black Lives Matter movements, I guess, or, you know, whatever, like foundations and that kind of stuff? Or do you support a guy who's got his heart in the right place, but isn't saying it properly?
I mean, if they want to use their platform, they should definitely be playing the games and then get their message out, you know, in the pregame, not press conference, but interviews, if they do that through stream, I guess, since there's not going to be reporters there. Post-game interviews, same idea. Throughout the games, just getting their message out through commercials, maybe, through different, you know, ventures with media. I mean, if you go back to, like, I know a lot of people have talked about this in the past, but, like, the 1968 power salute, the Black Power salute in the Olympics. It was Tommy Smith and John Carlos both raised, you know, a black glove fist during the national anthem. That's sort of where the movement started, right? In the media, anyway. So I don't know. I think they can get a lot more done using their platform on TV, since everyone's going to be watching this, and get their message out before the game, during the game, after the game, versus just being out there, you know, protesting, and then, you know, using their money to, you know, I guess help with reform in terms of like people voting. I know LeBron's doing that now. He put a bunch of money into, you know, different platforms to get people out there voting and not have to wait in line for 7 hours or wherever it was in, you know, Georgia 2 weeks ago. So there's a lot of different things they can do while on TV and get their message out to millions of people that may not be as educated on the subject and actually do some research after hearing LeBron talk about it, versus them just going out to different, you know, protests where it's not as televised.
Yeah, I think Kyrie's coming from a good place, and I'm not questioning his attitude towards like focusing some attention, maybe more attention on the issue. But I think, like Josh, you were alluding to, and I referenced it earlier, it's like basketball is it opens you up to a huge audience of people, and it's just more people to get your message across to. And it keeps the message persistent. You're going to be on TV. The people that watch it may not watch the news, may not watch the protests, may not have access to that, or they're willing to open up like the sites where you hear more about the protests and all that. So I think like playing basketball is a great way for them to, obviously for themselves to make money, but to make their message be heard and to a different population in the States. So I'm kind of against Kyrie here. I think LeBron's doing the right thing. He's promoting the right issues and learning how to play basketball and balancing priorities in your life is important. And Kyrie, like, if he told me what his plan would be and that's why he can't play basketball, and I'm not going to judge, but if that plan is like concrete, has some good actions, some measurables, and that's why he can't play basketball, like, okay, fine, that's his choice. But I think it'd be a little wrong for him to impose it on the rest of the league, where a lot of these players, like I said, haven't made their money yet.
Yeah, even if Kyrie were to, you know, somehow not go, like, he's not going to go either way, right? Like, he's injured. Kyrie's going to get paid no matter what, assuming that the season goes on. And even if it didn't go on, Kyrie still has so much shoe money that I don't think he gives a damn. I think his shoes are probably the second or third highest selling shoes right now. So, I mean, that dude is not strapped for cash whatsoever. And it's, in a way, arguable that it's kind of selfish that he would tell other players to not go get their money at the same time. But, you know, that's up to the eye of the beholder. Raj, how did it feel to agree with LeBron? You all right there?
It hurts. It hurts a lot. But I think LeBron's done a really good job with all of the movements, with his school that he has built in Akron. And he's done a really good job. And I think he's leading in the right direction on this issue as well. And I think with Kyrie, I wonder what would happen if he was healthy on a contending team with a very legitimate chance to win the NBA Finals this year, if he'd be echoing the same statements. Like, I'm not saying he wouldn't or he would, but it'd just be interesting, because right now he's not going to play. His team is not going to be competitive. Like, it is kind of pointless for the Brooklyn Nets to even show up, right? But if he was in Giannis's position, like, would he feel different?
Yeah, I mean, the person that I question more so is Dwight Howard and his statement recently about not wanting to play unless things change and there's, like, you know, massive change. It's like, what does that mean exactly? Are you just not going to come back in general? Because this could take years, obviously, for the United States government to change policy in a lot of different states and just overall, like, on the federal level. So does that just mean he's going to retire and, you know, be the head of this? Because, you know, based on what he said so far, it seems like he's definitely not coming back to play. I think at this point, if he did, it would be sort of hypocritical for what he's already said in, you know, statements to CNN.
I mean, maybe Dwight Howard is that player that you predicted will retire first before Kyrie.
No, that would mean my prediction's wrong, which is not going to happen.
So you still got your money on Kyrie?
Oh, yeah. He's a massive favorite right now.
Oh, man. I hope not. Kyrie's too fun to watch, man. Who would have the best handles in the league if not for Kyrie?
Yeah, he's got the best handles of all time.
Who would be second right now?
I mean, now that Jamal Crawford's out of the league, Steph, maybe?
It would probably... Steph, for sure.
Not Trae Young, net million people?
Nah. Steph's got more moves.
Yeah, Trae Young doesn't have that many moves. Steph is pretty nice. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the not-so-much bubble, right? The NBA released that memo. I think it was like 111, 120 pages or something. And apparently not once was the word bubble used. Just so you know, it is not a bubble. It's a campus where players and I believe it's 35 members from a team. So that includes coaching staff, physio, strength training, basically all that kind of stuff. Security, of course. 35 people go to this hotel. We got three tiers of teams, and it's actually hilarious the way that the NBA has divided the teams into the hotels. It's basically three tiers. The Grand Destino has the top tier teams. We're looking at the Bucks, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Clippers, a couple of few others. The Grand Floridian has what I like to call the second tier teams in this. The Thunder, the Rockets, the Pacers, the 76ers, and the Yacht Club, the Blazers, the Kings, the Spurs, basically teams that we're going to eliminate as soon as the playoffs start. And it's true, isn't it? Come on.
I feel like you're going to come to regret that statement.
Why?
I don't know. I sort of believe in Portland. I think that Portland has a shot to actually win a round or two.
Okay, so say Portland makes it. They take out the Grizzlies, I guess, who are in eighth place right now. Does that mean the Blazers just get the Yacht Club Hotel all to themselves?
There you go, another advantage.
Yeah, that's what I was going to wonder. It would be really funny if one of the teams from the Yacht Club made it deeper in the playoffs, and they're like, oh, by the way, there's a problem with the AC at the units. You're going to have to relocate and make up some lame excuse so they join the elite club.
Yeah, we're just like... yeah. Man, that would be sad.
I mean, from what I've heard that the Yacht Club is actually the better hotel. I mean, based on what Robin Lopez has said, he's like a Disney expert. He said he was disappointed that he's not going to the Yacht Club. So maybe if Portland joins a team there and they get to use the Lazy River all on their own, they're going to be super relaxed, ready to go, win a couple rounds in the playoffs, and then, you know, you're a super dangerous team. You never know what's going to happen.
What if Robin Lopez protests so he can get his way into the Yacht Club?
Yeah, Milwaukee. He's just
like,
switches.
Man, I can't stand being on the Bucks anymore. I'm going to Sacramento, and just forces his way over.
Or he has to quarantine because he's like the only player that switched hotels.
Single-handedly ruining this.
Him and Brooke. Brooke would definitely join him.
Yeah, of course. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right, we're looking at a lot of the same safety measures that we have in everyday society right now, right? They want everyone to stay 6 feet apart. We're looking at face masks everywhere you go except for when you're training or when you're... playing the actual game. And then there's this little ring that they have, that they've proposed. This ring will automatically measure your body temperature, your respiratory, and your heart rate to check your wellness. And it'll also count as a room hotel key and a tracker on you. So the idea that I've heard a lot of is it'll only or, you know, sorry, the science behind it is that it will bounce off of other people who have, you know, potentially been contaminated in the past. But it sounds a lot like just a normal tracker, right?
Yeah, so I looked into this actually to buy this ring before any of this coronavirus started. It's called an Oura ring, and basically it's like your smartwatch, but it's a convenient ring, and it basically provides you a lot of health information. There's just no screen, and you sync it with a phone or whatnot. Like, I'm interested to know how they're going to get everyone's information. Like, let's say you leave the ring at home, and then you just go out and... Or like you put it on your spouse or your teammate's hand, and two people are wearing one ring and they just like chill in the hotel room, and you just go out and grab some food or go out and like do whatever the fuck you want. So it's interesting how it's going to work, but I knew that the NBA was going to make sure that they stayed on campus. It would be a terrible look for the players to be able to leave and come back and then infect more players. And I knew as soon as they were proposing the league to come back that they were going to have to isolate them and monitor and keep, make it almost a closed campus.
But these rings are optional, yeah, right?
Yeah, they're optional.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a problem as it is. What's the point of having like a few players with these rings but not everyone else? I was reading in Germany, who are like the first basketball league to come back, they just have these guys with these rings on like a lanyard. So you don't have to wear it on your finger or anything, but you got to keep that thing on you at all times. I mean, what's the point of tracking like a quarter of the population?
It's just the privacy concerns, I guess. I mean, this is just, you know, glorified ankle bracelet, right? It is.
I mean,
there. Yeah, like, nobody wants to call it that, obviously, because they don't want to be seen as like prisoners. But it's that's basically what it is. I mean, it's a tracker. And if you, like, the whole thing you're describing there with, like, putting on somebody else, like, that's what people have tried in the past when they're on, like, probation and stuff, right? So.
I mean, I guess so, damn. But other countries have done it well, too, though,
right? Yeah, but I think those countries have a bit of authoritarianism, so it's a little different government. Like, it's not the land of the free. But I think the ring offers another advantage. Obviously, one of the key components is tracking, but it also can track your body temperature, your heart rate, and your respiratory rate, and all of those have been shown with a pretty good accuracy to be an early predictor of like coronavirus. So I think it's not the worst thing. I don't think too many players are going to take the option, but we'll see how it goes. It might be mandatory by the time the league actually decides to start.
It's true. We have more than a month, like more than a month and a couple of weeks, right? What did you say, Josh? 42 days? 41 days?
Yeah, 42 days.
1,000 hours.
Got lots of time.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, though, with like the whole security precaution in terms of players trying to leave the resort. I mean, they're obviously going to have like security there to see who's coming in and out, because they don't want people coming to the hotel, obviously, because it's quarantined. But, you know, players leaving are going to be tracked, obviously, and if they leave the site without the permission of the team, it's obviously going to be reported back, and then they have to quarantine for, I think, 10 to 14 days. So that's going to come out. You know, Woj is obviously going to report that, and people are going to know, and then you basically get shamed by everybody. The media, the fans, teammates, like, what the hell were you doing leaving the resort to go to Jack in the Box? Like, what do you think?
It would definitely be Chick-fil-A first. Come on.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, come on, man. Yeah. I'm sure they'll have that on site, on campus.
Disney personalized Chick-fil-A. Who do you think is going to break the news first that someone leaves campus? Is it going to be Woj or Shams?
I think the better question is which player is it going to be?
Oh, man, there's so many options. You're looking at 35 people per team for 22 teams? Dude, the options are endless. Well, not endless.
Pick somebody.
Give me... It's going to be someone from the Kings.
Oh my God, I was thinking the exact same thing. For me, Marvin Bagley.
You know what? Oh. You know what?
I think it's going to be Jakob Puddle.
Yo, come on, man. Puddle.
Just like in Game of Zones, you know? He's always getting blamed for everything.
Jacob, that guy.
Jakob Poeltl. 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 Him.
Hello.
No, but Buddy Hield's actually playing in games. Did you see that? He's playing in...
Yeah, I saw Trae Young was also playing in games too, but, you know, that's the only games he'll be playing in the next
couple months. Nobody gives a damn about the Hawks. But why the hell is Buddy Hield out there playing games? And why hasn't the NBA said anything about this, or the Kings said anything about this?
I think like a majority of the players are playing games right now. It's but most of it's not out in the world.
They're not getting publicized. What the hell?
Yeah.
How are you cool with this going on Ball is Life and then like not saying a word about it? You gotta discipline these guys if you're the team. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah, and also like if a team is almost out of contention, do you think they're just gonna quit? Like say the Kings lose the first two or three games of the regular season to where they're basically mathematically, you know, ineligible to actually make the playoffs. Do you think they're going to start benching players, or are the players just going to be like, nah, we're done, just quit?
I mean, the logical answer would just be to bench them, right? Like, just rest them, like, or, yeah, rest them.
What if they want to leave, though?
Then just leave. What are you going to do, fine me? No.
It'll be interesting, though, because then, like, you have a bunch of games that are off the schedule, so certain teams play more than others, and then it totally wrecks the entire standings.
Yo, man, 1-2-3 Cancun, all right? Just call in the strength and conditioning guys to play for them instead. Or just call in the Bucks and the Raptors players 14 through 17 and then get those guys to play a game.
Those guys together might be better than the Kings.
Yeah, definitely better than the Suns.
Definitely better than the Spurs without LaMarcus. Yo, sure.
The Spurs are boned. Oh man, the Spurs should quit right now. They should definitely not even show up. You can't risk Pop's health like that. Never mind anyone else.
That's another thing we haven't brought up yet is, you know, the talk about the coaches and if the NBA is going to try to implement a basically illegal rule that, or illegal, you know, stand, I guess, against the coaches saying that you can't coach because you're too old or you have a preconditioned, you know, virus or, you know, ailment, illness, whatever. Because, you know, a bunch of agents already talked about this. Like, if the NBA tries to do that, they're going to sue the NBA. So you don't want that look, especially going into, you know, a situation where there's a lot of different things that could happen.
Yeah, Warren Legere, who's the, like one of the main coach agents, is, who represents Mike D'Antoni, and I want to say Alvin Gentry, but I'm not positive. He's already come out and said that it's going to happen. But the interesting issue will be going into years forward, like, assuming the NBA finishes this year, no problem. Into the next season, it might be the same thing, right? They might try to do something along the similar lines of having older coaches, you know, coach from wherever, like the locker room or the hotel or whatever. So it'll be interesting going forward.
I honestly think that that is the only thing that would get the, like once the bubble starts up and the games start up, I think that's the only thing that would shut the entire thing down outside of like an outbreak, like a really big outbreak of like a bunch of teams getting coronavirus throughout their roster.
Yeah,
I think that's the one big thing. Like if, you know, one of the older coaches gets sick, like really sick, and it comes out like halfway through the regular season, like a, you know, coach went into a coma or something, then I think that they would think about shutting it down at that point.
I think if anyone got that sick, they would have to, right? And it's not just coaches. Like there's a lot of players who have like asthma and stuff. Like JaVale McGee has asthma. If he gets it, I mean, it should be the like a similar thing, right?
So does James Harden, apparently.
What?
Yeah, supposedly he has asthma.
Damn, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, that's news to me.
Yeah, he had asthma in college, I believe. I'm not sure if it's still a thing now, but he had it in college.
Yo, Raj, can asthma leave? Like, can you just get rid of asthma?
Yeah, some people can outgrow it, but generally speaking, most people have it when...
I did.
Yeah, most people have it when they're young, and by the time they're like 13, 14, 15, they usually outgrow it.
Oh, I definitely did not know that. Good for you, Josh.
If you grow a really big beard, it combats the asthma.
Ah, so you're telling me that I'm screwed?
Basically. And I'm also saying that if James Harden shaves, then he's also screwed.
So that's why JaVale McGee has his beard.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yo, Raj, did you hear about this? I guess they called it a hotline, where if you see another player going through infractions, so let's say you're... You see Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet standing less than 6 feet together. You can just call somebody and be like, hey, yo, Pascal and Freddie are too close. Here's a picture. And you just like, snap a quick picture with your phone. And then, you know, they might get penalized a bit. There might be a little bit of a punishment or a fine that goes down here. Do you think this would actually work?
Well, like, will it work? Probably not. But I did hear that Nick Young is the actual managing director of that whole division.
They brought him back just for this.
Yeah, that was his a position.
I feel like Chris Paul is going to bring a box of disposable whistles, and he's going to whistle every single time he sees an infraction.
He's probably got Adam Silver on speed dial, man. So, yo, Adam, LeBron and Anthony Davis are too close. LeBron's trying to get Giannis, man. He's standing like a foot away from him. Don't trust him.
You know who else I can see being a big snitch? Harrison Barnes. Because Harrison Barnes said, I think about 9 months ago, that he wasn't going to shave his beard until the Kings made the playoffs. Uh-huh. So if he sees any infraction inside that hotel, he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that the Kings make it in as the 8th seed. Because he doesn't want that beard for an entire, 2 years.
Oh, that's gold. Why not? Does it look that bad?
Nah, it must be itchy. I grew a beard for 2 months, man, and it was brutal.
Yeah, you gotta get that beard oil, man.
I tried some of that stuff. It doesn't work.
You gotta get the good stuff. I'm sure Harrison Barnes has some quality product.
He's gonna be looking like Kimbo Slice soon. R.I.P.
Damn. Yo, so what are the odds that players actually use a snitching hotline? It is a snitching hotline, right?
Oh, it's definitely gonna happen, for sure.
What was that?
It's absolutely going to happen. I think at least 5 players snitch.
But what happens if you just make up a snitch? What if I just say that I see LeBron and Giannis hanging out, but it's not LeBron and Giannis, you know?
Well, they have cameras throughout the hotels, right? So I'm sure the NBA will have access to that.
Okay, I'm going to call and be like, yo, I saw... I don't know, who's a random ass? I saw DeMar DeRozan going into Kyle Lowry's room to chat. You know, how can you know? They're not even at the same hotel.
I think Chris Paul is going to have his video calls out. He's going to be on, speed dial with Adam Silver, like you said, on WhatsApp, video chat, or Zoom, just videotaping the entire time that he's out in the hotel room.
I think Chris Paul is going to strap a GoPro to his chest and just live stream the whole time, man. That'd be a genius move.
What I'm interested to know is I'm interested to know how these players are going to be able to use their social media on campus. Because, I can just imagine a situation where the biggest pastime besides basketball is going to be gaming, cards, and just, chilling. And if they have access to their phones, they might just be, Instagram live streaming with, half the players from another team socially distanced. So, I think it'll be some good content coming in on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think you might also have a Gilbert Arenas, Javaris Crittenton situation eventually with the card games, because you've been playing a lot more card games, which leads you to believe there's going to be a higher probability of a fight breaking out, because there's going to be so much money in the line, because these guys are going to get bored throughout the day and there's going to be a lot more card games to be played. So a lot of money is going to be up for grabs.
Yeah, who's Jimmy Butler?
I feel like James Harden's going to lose a lot of money throughout the quarantine.
Who?
James Harden.
I saw a meme that said, it was a picture of a shocked guy, and it said when Harden and Kawhi realize that there's no strip clubs at Disney World. Damn. How much money is Jimmy Butler going to lose during these card games? Because we know Jimmy Butler is one of the bigger gamblers in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Jimmy Butler must be really good at these games by now with all the shit that he talks. So I think whoever gets in his way is going to be the guy that loses a lot of money. And then, again, the fight situation might come up because they just keep losing and losing and losing. And they can't just get off the plane and go home, right? They're going to be there for another, who knows how long, months. So I don't know. They're going to have security in some places. Around Jimmy Butler.
I can't wait for Jimmy Butler to try to rile somebody up, like OG Anunoby. Someone who's
OG cannot get riled up unless you talk about scarves.
Damn, you beat me to my own joke. You son of a bitch. All right, what do you think about this situation where... Okay, not what do you think. How idiotic is it? I'm just going to go out and say it. How idiotic is it that you can't play doubles when you play ping pong, that... after a game of cards or a night of cards, you got to destroy the deck of cards, right? They're not going to reuse any of these things. How absurd is it that all these things are going through, these type of safety measures, when you have guys who are literally going to be sweating on top of each other, who will be breathing, like, within face distance of each other. What is the point of all this? I don't understand. Like, you already have your mask on. I'm assuming that all these things will be disinfected. Why don't you destroy the, like, the PlayStation controllers after you play a game? It's the same thing as destroying a deck of cards, right? What's the point?
Why not destroy the ball after every free throw? After every shot, pass made? I think, to be honest, it's excessive, but they have the money. They have the resources to do it. And I think they're just not saying this, but they're just making the players feel comfortable that everything is being done to protect them. And if you have the money, why not? But I do think it's a bit excessive. The most important thing they need to do really is to make sure they're testing the players every day. And if they're able to test all of the players and all of the staff and do that in a consistent manner, then you're really reducing the risk of transmission.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the testing is the most important part. I think they said that they're not going to be tested daily, though, right? Like, it's going to happen every other day or something like that?
I think it said daily.
I saw in the new memo that it's not daily. Yeah. Or if it is daily, it might just be, like, temperature checks and not the actual, the deep nose pick or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I heard with that, too, they're not actually going to do the deep nose pick, as you said. they have another way of doing it, which isn't as effective, but it's less...
invasive?
You know, invasive, I guess you could say, yeah.
What is the other one? Do you know?
I think it just has to do with, like, them taking a swab.
No.
It's not, you know, like, when I went to the ear, nose, and throat specialist for, you know, a checkup or whatever, and they stick that, you know, swab way up your nose, basically into your brain, it's, like, the worst possible feeling in the world. So I've done that before. Mm. So doing that every day would just be brutal.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever experienced it.
It's bad, man. It makes you tear up for a good couple minutes.
Damn. That doesn't sound pleasant at all. I was hoping to hear about LeBron getting nose checked every day. I thought that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Unless they prove that these tests just don't work, which might happen, then they have to go back to the usual way.
Yeah. So on top of all this, we're looking at Disney staff. I think they call them Imagineers. Josh, is this correct? Imagineers?
That I don't know, but it sounds like a Disney term.
I thought you love your Disney. What is this?
The wife loves a Disney. I hate the Disney.
It's Anyways. Definitely clear.
These Imagineers don't have to necessarily stay on the campus, right? So the staff will be able to come and go. Obviously, they'll be temperature checked when they come and go. And I'm assuming that they won't have direct interaction with the players. I'm hoping so, at least. But isn't there still a risk of contamination, like, you know, through the food or if they're touching the same door handles or, you know, any other way that a virus can spread, right? Like, these are things that we learned about when we were in school. It's very easy to spread germs. So, I don't know. Is it really the safest way to be going about this? Couldn't they just house all these people together at the same time?
I don't think you can do that. Right? Because you can't really, like, tell somebody that if you want to work this job, you have to work on site for 3 months straight. Right? I don't know.
You're basically like a live-in nanny.
Or a cruise.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose. But these people aren't used to that either, so I don't think you'd be having the same people come back. You have to go through, like, a whole new hiring process, because most of these people are going to get homesick and want to leave. And then you got to hire more people at that point. So I don't know. Yeah, I think you have to have like a special type of person that's sort of used to, you know, a cruise environment, like you said, used to doing this kind of thing versus like going to work and going home. Because I'm not really sure that's going to work.
So you're just hoping that these people are careful, like Uber delivery guys?
Yeah, because we know that they're so careful.
I don't know, man. It's kind of risky. Maybe Kyrie's onto something. Maybe they shouldn't play.
Yeah, but the problem is if they don't play, then they rip up the CBA and then they're not playing next year either. And what kind of example does that set with these guys not making any money?
True. Got to get them something.
That's the whole reason why, like, them not playing in general, just as a thought process, just doesn't work. Like, what kind of example is that going to set when you just say, you know, I'm basically quitting my job and, you know, we're not going to get the money that we should be getting paid by these white owners? Because we're trying to send a message, but it's going to work in reverse in that way, because then the governors are basically going to say, okay, your 50% of the revenue is gone now. So you can either take 30% of the next CBA or nothing. We can just be in a lockout. So they have to come back.
Well, damn. Complete strong arming.
That's how it always is. I mean, they were lucky to get 50% last time based on, you know, a lot of the reports that were coming out before, you know, they agreed to that. Like, a lot of the talk was they're going to have to give in a lot of, you know, different concessions and take less than 50%, but they did a good job this time in actually getting 50%. I think before that it was only like 42 or something like that. It was a lot less than 50, so hopefully it stays that way or they get more of the pie next time, but we'll see.
Well, you guys got anything else? Are we worried about how these pools are going to operate or having live DJ sets on campus? Huh?
We talked about this off podcast, but I want a confirmation that they're not going to actually allow the public into these hotels, because there has been talk on another podcast we listened to on the Starters podcast.
No dunks.
Where Trey Kirby interviewed somebody who I think worked for Disney or knows a lot about Disney. And she was saying that she knows a lot of people that have reservations during the time period that the NBA players are going to be in these hotels, and they haven't been canceled yet. So is the NBA going to be booking the entire hotel for the entirety of the 1, 2, 3 months that these teams are going to be using it, depending on when they get eliminated? Or is the public going to have access to these hotels, in which case you don't have a bubble?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe they've kept the reservations in case it doesn't go through. Because the NBA and Disney still don't have like a signed agreement yet, right? So maybe this is their like backup plan, I hope. I mean, if you're going to open up the hotel to the public, what's the point? You're going to have random people running up on LeBron to see if they can snap a picture of him?
Yeah, and there would be people that walk straight up to him too.
Always. And it's only going to be one or two security people from each team. So, I mean, even if you have, like, two people, you're going to fight off, like, three families running up on the guy? No way.
Yeah, I guess you would think in that case, they would probably provide their customers with, like, a month's notice that your reservation's been canceled. So maybe we'll find out later in the month.
Even, like, a couple of weeks, man. We're in some very unprecedented times.
True. And plus, why would you want to travel at this point anyway? On a vacation where you have to go on a plane, where like you hear about, you know, the Orlando airport, they had like 50 staff members that had coronavirus last week, I think. So why even risk it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not worth it if you're just traveling for leisure, but who knows, man? The U.S. is kind of crazy right now. You got people playing basketball games and like the crowds have no masks on. People going to beaches and just hanging out as if it's normal. Going to bars. Like, yo, imagine going to a bar right now and feeling comfortable enough to go to a bar and just having drinks with your friends. Like, what? I get so uncomfortable at a grocery store getting food. You're telling me you're going to a bar? Get out of here, man.
I'll say what everyone else is thinking. White people are fucking crazy.
It is. It's so true. That's wild. Ah, oh, man. It's sad. Sad to think about. Crazy Florida is all you can really say. Well, crazy states in general, I guess. Oh, man. Anything else? Can we live stream, like, Big Brother? That would be nice.
I would.
Oh, they should definitely do that.
I would pay.
I mean, they should definitely have some sort of reality TV concept to this, whether it's one specific team doing it or just the NBA TV guys going in there and just getting as much film on this as possible. Because they would get a lot more viewership with that TV show than they would the games, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Raj, how much would you pay to get, like, a live look of, I don't know, who's the entertainer? Let's say the Blazers. How much would you pay to watch the Blazers go through their shit in a day?
Just the Blazers? I'd pay $10 a month. Like, it's only, what, a month or 2 months? I'd pay, like, $20 to see it happen. If it was the whole NBA, I'd go as far as $20 a month.
Damn. Okay, what if it's the Heat? You got a lot of characters on this team, i.e. Jimmy Butler.
Mainly Jimmy Butler. Yeah. You know what? I'll give. If Minnesota was there in the same hotel, I would pay top dollar for that.
Thankfully, they're not invited to Orlando.
I just want to see like a TV crew fall around Kawhi for a day, and just count how many words he says throughout the day.
Like 14. What a dude.
Yeah, they should put like Vegas lines up for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Think of the Vegas lines now. Who's going to be the first player kicked out? Or who's going to be the first player to do it, to go through with infractions? Who's going to be the first snitch? Imagine the odds. Chris Paul, easy favorite. Minus 300.
Yeah. I still got my money on Harrison Barnes, though.
Come on, man. You should know better by now. It's Chris Paul.
The game theory is there, man. He doesn't want the beard anymore.
Yeah, I guess not. All right. I think that's all the time we have for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.